This is The Blitz.
Number two of the Blitz is live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM every day from 12 to noon. We got our video feed up on the Periscope on both our Twitter and Facebook. You can search Fox Sports Knoxville to find both those. The podcast is up moments after the show goes off the air. And then, of course, you can download the free Fan Run Radio app or go to fanrunradio.com to explore all the content and the shows a little bit more. As always, we are broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Diving in a little bit to the basketball team, diving in a little bit to the football team, just kind of hitting the biggest stories from around Tennessee sports world right now. But we missed one big story so far, and so I want to kind of bring that up, see if you guys have any thoughts on it right now. So I guess early yesterday, Rick Barnes came out, I guess during his media availability yesterday, and he basically just casually said that he does not think that the UT Memphis basketball series will be renewed after the 3-game series is completed here, completed next year in Nashville. Remember, we went to Memphis last year. They come here in a couple weeks. And then we finish off either December 18th or 20th next year in Nashville, neutral site game. He doesn't think it's gonna happen after that. What do you think?
Whenever this series was started, Tubby Smith was still at Memphis, and Barnes and Tubby they got a pretty good relationship. And I think that's why this whole series kind of got started again. It went away for a while, and then we're lucky that we got this just a little taste this three game series.
That'll make it a little bit more disappointing when you got the last game coming up in Nashville next year. But at the same time, like you say, kind of glad that you got it back. But I think this has to be something with the bad blood between the two coaches.
Like I said,
not going to continue talk about scheduling with a coach if you both don't like each other.
Smith and Barnes, and then Penny Hardaway comes in. You play them early in December last year, and then you had the whole fist balled up. You had all that nonsense going on, and I just think that those two guys. I don't know if I would go as far as to say that they don't like each other, but they're definitely not friends.
I would say they definitely don't like each other. I do think there's bad blood. Even if you go back to the comments made after the game from last year, right? It was seen that once the interview with Hardaway was completed, he said, "Rick Barnes, get the bleep out of here." And then they asked him about it. They said, "Do you regret what you said about the scuffle at the end?" He said, "No, come on, man. Honestly, if you just watch the film, I'm not making anything up. We even had it on the phone. I don't know who Rick Barnes thinks I am, but I'm not a dude that likes to mess around about anything. I just call it like I see it, no matter how he's trying to make things seem. And I think it's kind of low class how he's trying to downgrade my guys for flopping and all that. Man, come on. Give me a break. I think there is no love lost between these two guys." But, let's kind of look at it this way. Is this a rivalry that I think that these two teams need, and what are the implications of this not happening anymore? Do you even it kind of seems like Tennessee is, well, actually, I don't know. I don't want to say that. I think I was going to say kind of feels like Tennessee may be pulling out, but I think that, Chance, really what you said is probably the most correct. It's just that These schools, these two coaches, whoever it is, they just can't even get on the same page in order to schedule these games.
Yeah, why would you try to? Because you got to negotiate contract. things take a lot of time. And I mean, why would you
rendezvous at some point, and you got to talk. But yeah, why would you do that if you're both, you know? And I and as much as it could be maybe Penny Hardaway, Petty Penny, you know, 75%, maybe Barnes. But I think it could be like a 60-40 thing, or maybe even both. Just like, hey, we're just going to agree to disagree about a lot of things, and we're just not going to play each other anymore. Good luck in the recruiting field against each other type of deal.
It does – yeah, I agree, but it does – it just – I mean, I love this game.
I do. I've always liked the Tennessee-Memphis game. And for these reasons, I thought it was good that Penny Hardaway got a little pissed off.
Yeah.
That brought the rivalry back.
Yeah.
And
it makes it something that they want to play for here in Thompson Bowling Arena.
Yeah.
And, I mean, now the only thing ending it makes it that much more of a bigger game when it's in Nashville next year. But
I hope we beat the hell out of them.
It would be nice to sweep them.
I mean, even after, Chance, you just said the key word in rivalry, even after last year's games, because I still have all these comments pulled up, Penny Hardaway was asked, does this add to the rivalry? Does everything that happened last year? And he says, oh, it absolutely does. And obviously he's right, because this is two perennial teams of the state of Tennessee. You have the flagship program, and then you have the next biggest, right? And these are highly touted schools in athletics. Like, they haven't been slouches by any means, especially the last couple of years. Like, these are the two historic athletic programs from the state of Tennessee. And I think that the thing about it is just, like, it sucks to see all these other states get these great in-state rivalries, right? And I know we have ours with Vanderbilt, but it's like I kind of feel like we're always just apathetic towards Vanderbilt. Like, we're either just super ticked off, like, in a somber way that we've lost, or we're just kind of big brother mentality and just kind of, can you stop bothering me? Vanderbilt.
I mean, when Vanderbilt's good, though, in basketball, I mean, it's a good rivalry when they're good. I mean, Kevin Stallings had them, in the later part of his tenure there, but early, I mean, kind of the middle part, he had them. I mean, they were a good team.
Yeah, when Stallings had them rolling, not only did you want to beat Vanderbilt, you wanted to beat him, too, because he couldn't stand him. A punchable face guy.
Very.
What's he doing now? He was at Pitt, but I know he got fired.
He got fired from Pitt as well, where they were disputing about contracts on the way out, big time. Is he coaching anywhere?
I don't think so.
Brandon, Presbyterian University.
The Blue Hose. No, he's not coaching anywhere.
Mm-mm-mm. Kevin Stallings not in the game right now?
No.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What
and
if,
relatively young. I mean, he's only 59.
Should Vanderbilt have gone back to him instead of
no.
Instead of Stackhouse? What if? What if they're just like, hey, you know what?
Stackhouse can probably turn that thing around. And that's me giving him a lot of credit because of his success at the professional level. But
yeah,
I thought that he would be a guy that would, you know, go to the NBA because of all the success in the G League and the D League, I guess, before it was the G League. But I think if they give him some time, I think he's going to be much better than Bryce Drew. I don't know. What?
I wish they would have kept him. beating him.
I don't know what failed experiment that was, but
I loved just beating down Vanderbilt and Bryce Drew. Talk about a guy with a punchable face.
Bryce Drew.
Yeah.
He made it, what, two seasons? That's
yeah.
all. Only
yeah,
two seasons.
Two.
Man.
And he had some bad breaks. Darius Garland going out, getting hurt for the year.
Yeah, if Darius Garland, likely, if he doesn't get hurt at the beginning of the year, they probably are a tournament team that season, and he gets another year at least.
But
maybe even two more.
Vanderbilt lost to Richmond over the weekend, or last Thursday.
You love to see it.
They did?
Yeah, 93-92. They play Austin Peay tomorrow.
File that under things we love to see.
Richmond mascot. This is the easy one.
Spiders.
Yep. Lay up on that one.
At the end of the day, though, like I do hope that this rivalry does get to continue in some way.
Rhode Island.
The Rams.
Like, to me, it's not as much football. I don't really need to, you know, does anybody feel like that we need to have a football rivalry?
With Memphis?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Right, exactly.
Why?
That's just what I'm saying. So, like, I think this.
Yeah, we don't want
to. We have nothing to gain from that.
That's what I'm saying. So, I think this basketball series, in case that's the only thing, because, like, hey, you guys react that way to that, but there have been a lot of people on Twitter who have been saying, you know, hey, let's be honest, let's look at this. Tennessee, Memphis, these teams need to play each other in every single sport that you can every single year.
No. Nope.
Because that's the kind of cross-state rivalry it is.
Nope. Tennessee stands to gain nothing from playing Memphis in football.
But there are people who think that.
I'll say it, they're wrong.
So that's why I had to clarify. I'm not talking about football here. Talking about other sports. I'm talking about basketball.
Yeah. I mean, the only way that I would support playing Memphis would be on a one-year basis to get the basketball rivalry back, to get the basketball game back.
A play-in? You gotta play the football game to get the basketball?
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be good for Memphis. Like, if that was like if Memphis was kind of holding out on the basketball, I don't know if we want to play you all. Like, okay, we'll play in football for you if we can play basketball.
I don't really know if I want to play Memphis in football right now, dude.
That's what we're talking about. We don't really have anything to gain from that.
I mean, play them 1 year, sure. Why not? It'll be 10 years from now. Who cares?
it's a fair point. They'll schedule those things for no less than 20 years in advance.
But I see no reason to make this a permanent. I mean, Tennessee stands to gain nothing from playing Memphis in football.
Yeah, and I would certainly agree. But that is a more brought up opinion than I thought would be floating around yesterday and today. So I feel like, you know, it's important for us at least to clarify.
I would much rather play Virginia. I would much rather play Virginia Tech every year than Memphis.
In football?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you start losing to Memphis every year or even every other, that really might hurt you in recruiting down the road too, in-state stuff. And just, you don't want Memphis walking around saying they're the best team in the state.
Well, also, like, it's kind of just a whack argument. For starters, because it's not like a realistic situation. It's not a realistic situation for you to be like, well, Tennessee and Memphis should play football every single year. Well, it's like, okay, no. Well, we're not going to do that. There's only 12 games to the season. You already have a giant chunk of SEC games you got to get through. You only have so many non-conference games. Just scheduling Memphis every single year for one of those games just is not a reasonable thing to do.
What if the SEC or the NCAA makes a rule to where you can only play one FCS what's the current rule? We were talking about this back in the summer.
The what? The current rule on what? Excuse me.
We were talking about whether we want Tennessee to continue to schedule the toughest teams or to have those cupcake games at the beginning of the season.
Like, what if if the NCAA or the SEC changed the rule like the Big Ten has to where you can't play, like, they force you to schedule tougher?
Yeah, where you can only get, what, one no FCS schools, right? Or is it one?
I can't remember what the rule is.
I think it's none. I don't think they schedule any more FCS.
But anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Like, if that was the case, then maybe I could see scheduling Memphis, but eh.
Well, I don't know. Like, I think I could definitely see it then, because you look at some of these non-conference games that you have in football, and what are some of these this year? It was Georgia State, BYU, Chattanooga, UAB, right? And so you look at those, and for me, like, for the non-conference games to be good, there's got to be some kind of good, again, kind of like what we said yesterday, there's got to be some kind of good storyline to it. When Oklahoma comes in next year, or excuse me, when we go there to face the Sooners, like, that's a big game because there's a lot to draw from on that. And so, like, I would be totally okay with scheduling in Memphis rather than, like, a BYU, you know, every once in a while. Certainly not by every year. Don't really care about those standards. But if you're going to throw it in for a non-conference game, I think that's one of the better options you could go with, probably. But still. There is a lot to it. All in all, whether you think the rivalry should end, whether you think it shouldn't, whoever you think is responsible for making it not end, as of yesterday morning, Rick Barnes says that he does not think that the UT-Memphis series will be renewed after their final game is played next December in Nashville. Would be sad to see it go, but maybe we can bring it back.
I think people, most people are sad. Just put a poll up on that one.
Okay. We'll do that. We will formulate the poll right now. We'll come back on the other side of the break. We'll let you know what it was, and then we'll update you on that the rest of the show. We'll get into some more fun topics. A lot of stuff coming up. 45 minutes left in the show. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. So Tennessee football, the Twitter account, @Vol_football, they put out a pretty good video yesterday. Pretty good video. I love these videos of when the players get to receive their scholarships in front of the whole team, kind of in the middle of the season or unexpected or something like that. It is always fantastic to see. Tennessee puts a video out of Pruitt giving scholarships after practice to three Tennessee walk-ons, Kenny Solomon, Pack Garland, and Isaiah Montgomery. So shout out to those guys. Congratulations.
Yeah, good for them.
It's a good time to be alive. All right, just wanted to kind of get that out of the way real quick, give the congratulations that are in order. But let's do this. Chance, we are another week through the NBA season. I believe I asked you this at the beginning of last week. But I just kind of want to dive into some of the biggest storylines from the NBA right now. What are you seeing in terms of just kind of where the league is? What are some of the biggest storylines that people are following right now that you're seeing?
Well, today, first of all, is the 15th year anniversary of anybody? Anybody? Malice at the Palace.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that brought you.
15 years ago
there.
Today?
Yeah, 15 years ago today.
Love a good brawl.
Yeah, Ron Artest and them boys and the Pacers and the Pistons got down.
Yeah.
Malice at the Palace. It was one of the worst times for the NBA as far as a public relations standpoint. And it probably took Ron Artest out of an MVP race that year because of he got suspended for the remainder of the year. And Reggie Miller was actually on a pretty good Pacers team that year that might could have won it all. So that start off with that. But I guess, like, the biggest thing around the league right now is, dominance by LeBron in year 17.
Uh-huh.
Looks like LeBron James is on his way to another MVP. I think this would be number 5 if he were to win another. I could be wrong. Could be 6. I know he's had at least 4, I think. So yeah, LeBron's dominance in year 17. The Lakers look like the best team in the league. Clippers look really good, though, last night.
Yep.
Paul George returned. He had a game-winning three-pointer last night, too. I think that's a big story. The Clippers and the Lakers, obviously. Your Mavericks, Luka Doncic joined LeBron James.
Nasty.
As only the second player in NBA history, was it second 20-year-old?
The second youngest player
to
get a 40-point triple-double.
Yeah, first 40-point triple-double in Mavericks team history, but he had 40 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists.
And I believe that's 14 under the age of 21.
Yeah, I think he's only the second player under the age of 21 is what the only other player is, King James himself,
yeah.
LeBron James to do
Big
so.
Big company.
So, just the way he's playing has been, you know, pretty – I think the parity in the league outside of, like, the Clippers and the Lakers being the top two teams is something to watch. Brandon Celtics, as we talked about yesterday.
That's what I was going to say is you look at the top five of each division, and four out of the five for both are pretty much right around what you expected. In the East, you got the Celtics at top, followed by the Bucks, the Heat, the Raptors, and the Sixers. Now, obviously, that's not really the right order, but that's kind of pretty much, at least for me, with the exception of the Heat, the best teams are slowly starting to rise to the top. And in the West, you got the Lakers, the Rockets, the Nuggets, the Clippers, and the Mavericks, who are in the top five. Again, the Mavericks being the odd one out. But again, the pretty much the four we expected to be there at the top are exactly there.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of experts or just NBA fans in general saw your Mavericks being as good as they've played. I mean, something that I was talking to you about.
Hold on.
The Mavericks played
Hold on.
Brandon watched half a game.
Hold on.
Expert.
How can you say that they're a good team when they lost to the New York Knicks twice in one week?
They did.
That's about as bad as it gets, I'll be honest. But I got to look at it from this
that
point of view.
That is true.
Is there any more two hyped up games for the horrible, awful New York Knicks than the game that they get to play Kristaps Porzingis again for the first time, and then the game that they get to bring back Kristaps Porzingis to New York City for the first time? There's no other two games that the New York Knicks are going to get that much up for.
That's your excuse?
Their attendance for all other games besides that Kristaps return, it's been nowhere near the same. That's your excuse? It's two
That's
terrible losses. Don't
That's
worry.
It, respect his excuse, Brandon.
It's two terrible losses. Right. No team in the NBA maybe has two worse losses.
Well, I would say, all right, so.
But it's still a really good team.
Time's going to tell if they're a really good team. It still is early in this NBA season. But I don't think a lot of people would have said that they thought they'd be playing as well as they are so far.
They're looking like
they're for sure probably be, you know, I said eighth spot in the, you know, playoffs. I think that, yeah, anywhere from the sixth to the eighth spot, especially if Luka Doncic stays healthy. And that stat was they're the youngest, like you said, under 21, the only two players under 21 to have a 40-point triple-double. If they continue that, who knows? But, yeah, man, the game's been pretty exciting so far.
Dude, what about the Golden State Warriors? When is the last time you have seen a drop-off from a championship-caliber team for multiple spanning years, a drop-off of this proportion? I know they've been riddled by injuries.
Well, in baseball, the Marlins used to do it every time they won a World Series. They'd just come in the
next. They'd get that bad?
They'd go into the offseason.
Fire
just,
sale.
Yeah, they'd fire sell everybody in the offseason. And they'd be like, whoa, you guys just won a championship. You could probably win a couple more. No, I'll just get everybody out of here and win another one 4 years later. Like, cut the payroll. That's what they used to do.
But you got your ring?
In the Warriors' case, it's due to injuries. So, I don't think you've ever seen a team lose so many of its star players, just the next year after, or, you know, just next year after having a dynasty for 6 years.
Yeah, like, I remember, I feel like the year after Philly won their Super Bowl, it was an early playoff exit. But even that, like, is completely different. I get there's a little bit of disappointment if you're the reigning champion and you have an early playoff exit in whatever sport it is. But, like, for you to just have the worst record in the entire NBA by a game is just, sad times at the Bay. Sad times at the Bay.
Very much
also,
so.
The second worst team is the Washington Wizards.
My Bulls ain't
sorry,
far.
Admiral.
They've lost a lot of games.
They
should have played better.
No, I think he's back. I think they
is he back? I thought he was in the G League.
So. He's with the Go-Go's. Just
yeah,
like
man.
2 days ago, he had 25 points with the Go-Go's.
He's going to be a two-way player with the Go-Go's, though.
Oh, is that what they're doing? Because I remember when the news broke, when we were just randomly on the show.
Yeah.
But then I remember he got called back to the Wizards.
He's going to be.
So then did
they
I
did
miss?
Say he was going to be a two-way player.
Okay, so that's the part.
I mean, like literally, like 3 days ago, he had 25 points.
Good
shout out to
that.
Let's see, I have it somewhere. Let's get a stat line.
Getting it going with the Go-Go's.
24 points, 6 rebounds. So he had a pretty good game.
24 and 6 is a fantastic game.
The
just trying to kind of
Go-Go's.
Well, I love Christmas NBA basketball games. Then we'll really know like. Kind of like where teams are going.
Oh, my gosh.
The hunt really gets going.
What is the NBA Christmas schedule? Christmas NBA.
Has
that been released?
Celtics, yeah.
Yeah,
Celtics
Lakers have the primetime game.
Lakers-Clippers,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. These are some good games. We're starting off at noon, Celtics-Raptors.
My guys.
2:30, Bucks-Sixers. 5 o'clock, Rockets-Warriors, which I'm assuming they thought would be a little bit different.
Yes.
8 o'clock. Clippers Lakers, that's your primetime main event special. And then for the late night crowd, the Pelicans and the Nuggets will wrap things up.
Will Zion be back by then?
He was supposed to be out, what, 6 to 8 weeks? So
should be.
Potentially could be back Christmas time.
Wow. Are
the Pelicans at home?
No.
That game? Okay, I was saying that'd be a good like ticket sell.
That would Christmas be huge. Day game. Yeah.
They put him on the ticket, a little Santa hat, you know, their little graphics. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be
oh,
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he was coming back.
He get you in the marketing department.
Yeah, down there with the Pelicans, I can show him how to sell some tickets. But, yeah, I guess he would be coming around back to the time. I think that Clippers-Lakers, obviously, that's the matchup we want to see.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting antsy about it already.
I think this is the year where we'll be saying again, like we did, what, 2 years ago when it was the Warriors and the Rockets. We're going to be saying this year, if the Clippers and Lakers face off in the Western Conference Finals, this is the NBA Finals game.
Yeah, that's kind of as big as it gets, right? You're sharing Staples Center. You're both in Los Angeles.
The two best teams in the league with the most star power. It'd be hard not to. Like, that's going to be a game that's going to be much better than the actual finals matchup.
Yeah, I would very much tend to. I mean, it's like in the MLB playoffs this year. It's like, even though we got a phenomenal World Series, which ended up being very historic, it was like one of the biggest series in the whole MLB of the year was when we had New York Houston in the American League Championship, because it's New York and it's Houston. It's two big markets. But anyways, I digress. We will catch a quick commercial break. We'll come back on the other side of the break, update you on that poll that we released a couple minutes ago. Find some more things to talk about. Have a little bit of fun. We'll do all that in a couple minutes. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. St. Bonaventure.
The Bonnies.
Stetson University.
The Hatters.
Stony Brook.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
Ooh.
This is a hard one.
Mm. All right.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. Can I have a hint?
Give him a hint.
Say
if you get the hint and you get it still.
Real.
It's not real. Okay.
Okay, that's a good hint by me. It's a good hint.
It's not a real creature. Stony Brook.
I actually make sure it's not real.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely not real.
It's definitely not.
Hmm. So it's a mythical creature?
Uh-huh.
Huh. The Stony Brook. I don't know.
Got you on one, huh?
Got you there.
Stony Brook.
Starts
with an S.
Starts with an S, yeah.
Hmm.
I think land and water.
Sea monsters. No.
Close,
though. Sea wolves.
The sea wolves.
The sea wolves.
The sea wolves.
No joke. They're like pirate canines. The Stony Brook Seawolves. Wow. Wow.
Colgate.
Oh, good one.
We played them last year.
Yep.
Are they a color?
No.
No.
Are they a dog?
No.
Ah.
Mm. I don't know. Now we're getting to these obscure schools.
Are they like a bear?
The Raiders.
Oh. Raiders.
Not even close.
Raiders.
The Raiders. Speaking of the Raiders. NFL. Let's take a look back at some of our predictions from the start of the year. We started the football season. And I think we should probably, if we had to repick, what are our favorites now?
Sure. We're about the halfway point. If you look back at these NFL predictions, they're kind of hilarious.
We're a little more through the halfway.
Okay, sure.
Correct.
Let's just.
Are we just gonna look back? Or are we gonna put like? Are we gonna give it like a second half?
I don't think we should change them.
Okay.
And if we do second half, we can do that at another point.
I think we should do a second half at another point.
Okay.
Well, like just be like, hey, this is my favorites now. This is who I would pick.
Like
now.
If I'm, you know, educated guessing. You know, here's how I think it'll shape
I think
up.
We should keep these, but maybe just, like, add.
Okay.
Add to the line.
I like that. So, out of the AFC North, Brandon and Chance both took the Steelers, and I took the Browns.
Mm.
It looks like all of us will lose on that one.
It's tough.
Looks like the Ravens are likely going to take that division. None of us have Baltimore in the playoffs at all.
No, that was a big miss by us.
Yeah.
I mean,
we talked about them, though. I remember we said, well, we're not giving Baltimore a lot of respect. They won it last year, but nobody picked them.
Well, I mean, I think people might have thought that Lamar, like, could Lamar Jackson, could he do it again? Is he going to be able to stack that up and have another good year? And the answer is undoubtedly yes.
Yeah, a resounding yes.
And it was probably more or less, too, because he had only, what, like half the season last year. He came right at the end of the season, and, he, you know, he played into the playoffs, but now you get a full season of him. Yeah, like you said, that definitely proved wrong on that one.
Yeah. In the AFC West, cool. Chance and I both took the smart pick. We took the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon took...
took chalk on that one.
Brandon took the quarterback who's thrown 7 interceptions in his last 2 games, the one and only great Philip Rivers in the Los Angeles Chargers.
Mm.
Zoink, Scoob.
Never go full Philip Rivers, right?
Yeah. That's what they say.
AFC South, uh-huh. You guys look pretty good there. Both of you guys took the Texans. I took the Jaguars. Although I don't know if they're...
Are the Texans leading right now?
No.
Do we know?
Well, they're tied with the Colts, but the Colts have the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Jacksonville, are they tied with the Titans at least or something?
No, they're a game behind.
Okay. So they've won like 4 games, 5 games?
Yeah. I think they're maybe 4-6. Titans are 5-5. And then Colts and Texans are 6-4.
Nick Foles goes down at the beginning of the year. That definitely hurt. I mean, the Jags get rid of Jalen Ramsey. If you saw that coming, would have never known of them and they get rid of their
big game on Thursday, though. Colts-Texans. Battle for the division.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Winner will have sole first place. Did we do these picks before or after the Andrew Luck injury? I got to imagine after.
It was after.
It was after.
It was after.
Okay,
it was,
that's
it
what I thought. After. Because I can't really see myself not taking the Colts in that situation. All right, last one in the AFC. We all took the Patriots. Let's move on.
yeah, no disputes there.
For the wild cards, wait, hold on. Okay, so right now it looks like I have New England and Kansas City. Cleveland's a no. Houston's a maybe. Brandon has locked in New England. Pittsburgh's a no. Los Angeles is a no. Houston's a maybe.
I had Los Angeles as a wild card and Cleveland as a wild card.
Yeah.
You had Pittsburgh and Los Angeles. Brandon had Cleveland and Kansas City as his wild card picks.
So right now, like I think I have 3 out of the 6
teams. Which is
weird.
It's not absurd. Nobody knew that the Chargers were going to suck this bad. I mean, people forget they won 11 or 12 games last year.
It's true.
How the mighty have fallen.
How the mighty, mighty have fallen.
It doesn't. None of us are in good shape to finish out our AFC picks over 500.
Our AFC championship, though, we're all looking pretty good there, if I'm reading that correctly.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Kansas City and Houston.
Why did I take – there's no way that I put Kansas City and Houston
you did.
As my
you
AFC.
Did.
You
there's
did.
No way.
Because Brandon went back and changed his
– no way.
To
what an idiot.
Kansas City.
Yeah. What an idiot.
Bumbling idiot.
Yep.
Why would I not have the Patriots?
I don't know.
We
bumbling idiot.
I remember when we did this. I didn't know why none of us. I mean, like me and Brandon took New England. Brandon went back and changed his to Kansas City because he had somebody else outside of New England.
And
at
you
first.
Talked me into it.
Yeah,
and I kicked myself from the moment I did it.
What was I thinking?
Obviously, you weren't.
I don't know. What an idiot!
Who
doesn't have New England in a measly AFC Championship game.
At least.
We're not even talking about the Super Bowl.
At least the AFC Championship game.
Oh, my God. They got to win like one game, right, to get into there after playing the easiest schedule year in and year out?
Mm-hmm. NFC picks. Looking at the NFC North.
Oh, God.
We all took the Bears.
Everybody was high on the Bears.
Yeah. Headed to NFC West. Rick and Brandon took the Rams.
Uh-huh.
I took the Seahawks. Feel pretty good about that one.
I think all 3 of us are still in contention for that one, but
yeah.
Chance
I would
certainly sitting the best.
Feel good
Chance
about the Seahawks. The looking at NFC South, New Orleans, I took the Falcons, which the Falcons are not mathematically out of it right now. I believe... They're not yet.
They aren't, but they are. Is it one of those kind of situations?
The Falcons have now won 2 in a row. They sit at 3rd in their division at 3-7.
OK. Okay.
No. You got to watch out for them.
The rest of their games are all division games. So they have a chance, and I heard Cam and John talking about this yesterday because Cam's a Falcons fan, a chance to go 6-0 in their division and still not make the playoffs. Who does that?
That's good.
That's really bad. Outside of the Falcons, NFC South, looking at the NFC East, Dallas, and I went with Rick changed it to Philadelphia.
I don't think I did. I don't remember doing that, but it sounds like something I would do. So,
looking at that one, Cowboys lead the division. Eagles right on them, though.
I feel like we're all
looking good right there. Eagles are only a game back. Go to the wild card for the NFC. Ooh. Rick picked Philadelphia. I took Green Bay. Brandon took Green Bay. The wild card looks like Green Bay might be the best team in the NFC. I hope so. And then the other matchup, you guys also put Atlanta in the wild card. So let's not gloss over that.
Yeah.
While I picked them to win the division.
I feel much better about them having a wild card than winning the division.
Yeah. So I picked them to win the division. You're right. They could put themselves in a position to get a wild card. And then I took the Rams as my wild card pick, which I feel good about that.
I remember just doing a total coin flip. Like I was between Green Bay and Atlanta about which team I thought was just going to completely fall off. And it was just a total coin flip. And I picked Green Bay with the new coach, and I shouldn't have. That is unfortunate. Before we get to the NFC Championship, NFC Championship, AFC, and the Super Bowl, just for a little bit of context, give you a look at what the playoff picture looks like right now. If the season ended today.
Gotcha.
Your AFC, let's see, your 1-6 in the AFC is New England, Baltimore, Kansas City, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Houston. Still alive right behind them are Oakland, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Cleveland. On the other side of things in the NFC, you have the starting at 1, the San Francisco 49ers, the Packers, the Saints, the Cowboys, the Seahawks, and the Vikings. So the,
And the 49ers would be number 1, then it'd be...
Yeah, so Seattle Packers, and Minnesota Seahawks, are your wild card teams from the NFC, and then Buffalo and Houston are the wild card teams from the AFC. If I had gone back and thought about it more, Buffalo would have been a lock for my AFC wild card.
Yeah.
Their schedule is so easy. I didn't know that. Yeah, their defense would be this
Cleveland,
good.
Man. Cleveland came in with a lot of hype, man. Don't knock yourself.
Yeah, they did. They most certainly.
I'm not gonna get too mad about the Pittsburgh picking the Steelers. I mean, Big Ben goes down the first game. I feel like outside of the Ravens, they could have been a good wild card or even won that division. You know, with a healthy Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
They always give the Ravens fits. They always play each other tough.
There has been one team eliminated from playoff contention so far. The 0-10 Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, they are the only team eliminated so far. Dolphins still in it.
The Dolphins at 2-8, the Jets at 3-7, the Redskins at 1-9, and the Giants at 2-8, still alive. Still alive, but they are barely breathing.
Broncos, the Bengals, who are they going to get now? Joe Burrow.
At least the Broncos are competitive.
The Bengals are just like such a who cares franchise.
Oh, yeah, AJ.
Who cares?
AJ Green might be coming back late in the season. Why would he come back? Shut that thing down.
AJ Green, hey. Just take your money. Go somewhere else.
Rick's do not draft list.
The one guy that was on,
don't take
the one guy that was on Rick's do not touch.
I touched him.
Did you?
I did. I stashed him. Yeah, I stashed him like I did Golden Tate and Melvin Gordon. That worked out for me.
Update on our basketball, on our poll question, are you upset that the Tennessee-Memphis basketball series could be coming to an end yet again? Surprisingly, about 200 votes in, 70% say no.
What?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Really?
People don't care?
Very much surprised.
70% say no.
Yeah, they don't care.
Interesting.
We all wanted it back, though. So weird.
Are we gonna do what they say can be done?
Final segment of the Blitz here live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Talked a lot about the NBA there in the last segment. Looked at some games that are coming up on the schedule. And if you are looking at those same games, maybe you're looking at them and thinking to yourself, hey, I might be able to win some money right there. I feel like I could bet the house on that right there. Well, then you got to use MyBookie, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio. That's the way you win money with these things. You got to go to the right people who know the right information. Go to MyBookie, and that is where you can do your gambling needs. Now, we want all our Fan Run listeners to win. Of course, we want everyone to win anything. Look at the Fish a couple days ago.
Oh yeah,
the Fish taking home almost $2,000. We were excited for that, and that's exactly what he did it with. He did it with MyBookie, real Vegas odds on the biggest college football games, but not just college football. They got live in-game betting on every NFL game, college football, college basketball. What else am I missing?
The NBA.
The NBA.
Major League Baseball, when that was going on. You can even bet on hockey if you're one of those people who love the rink. Like Rick said, be like the Fish. Take a little money line parlays or get you some parlays on some spreads action like the Godfather. Work it in any way you can. I think you also can still use that first-time deposit promo bonus of Knoxville if you've never used MyBookie.ag before. Go ahead and they'll try to double up your first deposit. Looking at some games tonight, I'm going to go ahead and throw a lock out there. My game of the night is going to be I'm going to take the Suns as a two-point underdog coming facing the Sacramento Kings tonight, coming into Sacramento. I like this what the Suns have done.
Okay.
With new head coach Monty Williams, they have started out, I believe they are 7-4. This is a team that was next to last in the league last year,
yep.
If not the worst team. I believe they were next to last, though. And, they've done a pretty good job.
Yep.
Devin Booker's cooking. I'm going to go with the Suns.
And doing it without DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
I was actually – and the Suns are playing good. I was actually thinking about taking the Kings because the Kings have been playing pretty good, too.
Kings have been playing pretty good, too.
They beat my Celtics the other night.
Mm-hmm.
They played the Lakers close.
De'Aaron Fox. He's no slouch.
But I think I'm going to go with the Lakers. 11-point favorites against the Thunder. I mean, we talked about it earlier. At the level that LeBron's been playing.
Year 17, people.
That's what I'm going with. Lakers hosting the Thunder tonight.
And the Suns tonight, too, if you don't want to get on the spread action of the two-point underdog, you can take them at the money line straight up. $100, it gets you 110. Nice.
It's pretty good.
Love that. Love that. Always love getting the profit back.
As I got a big underdog that I'm really liking here, if I were to you, I would bet the house.
A big underdog?
Is this the Rick Butler lock of the night?
It certainly might be. It certainly might. If it's right, then it is. If it's not, not the lock of the week.
Then it might be. What is the lock? The people must know. Please tell us, Rick.
It's going to be a tough game. I think they can do it. They've made it this far. I think that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Oh, my. Who?
Will beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Oh, my God.
And overcome their three-point underdog prowess.
What?
In order to take home the 107th Grey Cup at McMahon Stadium of Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Canadian football.
The Grey Cup. Give me Jonathan Kongbo and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available.